Today I want to talk about changing our beliefs, changing your beliefs and my beliefs. Christ says in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth that we need to change our beliefs rather than try to improve our lives or heal our bodies. Why? My thoughts are that Christ is saying that divine consciousness is seeking to provide for our well-being, to include our growth, nutrition and nourishment, our healing, protection, our fulfillment of need, our work, our survival, delivered with a rhythm, all governed by the law of cause and effect. The only thing that can prevent the success of divine consciousness seeking to care for our well-being would be our beliefs. Which beliefs need to be changed? Of course, that's a complicated question. I wonder if there's some dividing line, some fork, some point of bifurcation that we can use. Maybe the splits could be summarized as, I believe I am loved versus I believe I am not loved. I believe I am safe versus I believe I am not safe. My needs will be met versus my needs will not be met. I am growing versus I am not growing. I am being nurtured and nourished and I am not being nurtured and nourished. I am healing versus I am not healing. I am protected versus I'm not protected. My needs are being fulfilled versus my needs are not being fulfilled. I have work to do or I don't have work to do. I am and I will survive, or I am not and I will not survive. Rhythm works, rhythm doesn't work. I reap what I sow, or I don't reap what I sow, and neither does anybody else. If our ego's four driving needs were seen in slightly different ways, our beliefs would change. For example, driving need number one is about defending the self from criticism, emotional, physical attack. You and I are the most frequent criticizers and attackers of ourselves, far more than anybody else has done or is doing. We are the real problem. If we heal our beliefs about the value of attacking ourselves, we would change our energy field. We would change our pain body for the better. Somewhere along the line, we watched other people attack, not only us, but other people, and construed there to be some value. If we attack ourselves, we will grow better, we will heal faster, we will be nurtured and nourished better, we'll be protected better. And those things are not logical. They don't really stand up to scrutiny. Driving need number two of the ego is to come in first in the race of life, despite the opposition of other people. But we could review that and consider it about our individual growth and progress in just personally, instead of us being in competition for energy resources with other people. Rather than being better than other people or suppressing other people, we could seek to be better than we were before. It's an individual thing. We're competing against ourselves. That would be a different experience and provide different belief systems too. One of the best aspects of the game of golf is that you are really playing against yourself. You stand over the ball with a club you decided was the proper club for that shot at that distance, and you hit the ball. No opponent challenges you. The only opponent there is your own thinking. It is known in those circumstances that you play better if you can quiet the mind and let the body do what has been practiced hundreds, if not thousands of times before. The body knows how to do it. It knows how to swing the club and hit that shot. But when the mind insists upon taking over and to try to control that shot, problems occur. The golfer defeats himself. Driving need number three urges us to take the best for ourselves despite the opposition of others. This works on us if we believe that we are not enough and that stuff and more stuff and more stuff still will help us be enough. If the underlying goal of this need is to be enough, then working on beliefs related to our own feelings of enoughness would be the key. Buying more, eating more, drinking more, acquiring more are addictions that do not lead to permanent feelings of enoughness. When we understand the electromagnetic nature of life, energy acquisition takes on a different feel. Rhythm affects acquisition. We learn, if we change beliefs, that we can acquire what we focus on, and we can let go of what we stop focusing on. And this leads to driving need number 4, which urges us to hold on to all of our possessions because we believe we are our possessions. If we believe this lie, we are screwed. We are not our possessions, or our thoughts, or our emotions, or our bodies. Who and what we are transcend the material world. An area of beliefs that needs greater understanding is the concept of resistance. As a kid, I heard the expression, but that if he had a greater resistance to the infections, he would have remained healthy. Look at human behaviors, you will observe many forms of resistance. Besides the obvious immune system, we put locks on our doors to increase the resistance to anyone trying to enter. We don't answer the telephone when an unknown caller appears on the dial. We don't listen to or watch people. We resist points of view about politics and religions that are at odds with our own. We resist change. At various levels, we use facades as forms of defense, which are forms of resistance. The trouble with all of this resistance is that the saying, "What you resist persists," is true. I say we feed what we fight. We believe resistance makes me safe. That may be true in some circumstances, but it also gives enormous causative power to whatever is being resisted. The resisted is at cause. The resistor is the reactor. The resistor is at effect. That which being resisted is controlling the dynamic. It's controlling the conversation. In this universe, if there are only activity, bonding, and rejection, resistance is related to rejection. It's reasonable to believe that many diseases are rejection-resistance related. Resistance interferes with the flow of energy between points, the energy that could be words, it could be information, it could be love, kindness, etc. And when these energies are hampered, understanding and health can be compromised. Just think that when body parts, the cells, the organs, the systems in the body, don't communicate effectively, we end up with problems. If you notice yourself in opposition frequently to whatever you put your attention on, you're going to recognize that you're habitually resisting and rejecting. A belief that you will want to make your own is, it is not about you. Because we think everything is about us, it puts us in a position of judging this and judging that and criticizing this and criticizing that. But it's not about you. It's not about me. There is no need for us to judge, label, categorize, value, devalue, criticize, praise, etc. We can learn to just observe. What is, period. But our minds drive us to do that. Judge, label, categorize, value, devalue, criticize, praise, etc. Beliefs, as you know, are creations of the mind. And the mind drives us to defend our beliefs, even to the point of fighting and killing. The idea of using the mind to eliminate beliefs that the mind created in the first place seems to be potentially problematic. That the mind might be resistant to do this also seems pretty obvious. Hypnosis is one technique used to get the conscious mind out of the way in order to instill new beliefs. It can also change the beliefs that maintain certain relationships with certain things. I once had a conversation face-to-face with a hypnotherapist. I was explaining the healing codes to her, and she was explaining hypnosis to me. She asked if I had any aversions to anything, and I said, yes, olives. Olives are the only food I don't like. I didn't document what she said to me or what she did, but after a few minutes, which included touching my hand, a couple of points on my hands, she said, well, next time it's convenient for you, try eating olives and see if there's any change. A couple of days later, I did, and I was not repelled by the taste of olives, which was a huge change for me. That little bit of work that she did with me had an impact on my relationship with olives. In the book, The New Earth, Eckhart Tolle talks about using breathing to quiet the mind. I thought that quieting the mind reduced its defensiveness, and certainly its activity, and its tendency to create more judgment and criticism and attacking and defensive maneuvers. I also thought what Christ discovered in the desert after being baptized by John. When we think of the 9 items of growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, and all under the law of cause and effect, it's obvious that just mindful breathing, we will allow the divine to care for our well-being. You can see how those 9 items and breathing are interconnected. Breathing affects us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And I'm thinking that the healthier us functions more effectively in the rest of the 12 worlds. In our families, in our careers, with finances, socially, in our leisure activities, in our community, politically, and maintenance as well. The concept of images is important to beliefs. While in response to a question about what we believe, if I asked you, what do you believe about X, you would answer in words. But the belief itself is an image of reality that you and I would accept as true. To try to change beliefs solely by changing words, such as we try to do with affirmations, won't be very successful. We would need to change the image or have a different image, so the one that currently exists would kind of dry up because we're no longer feeding energy to it. It no longer would acquire energy to sustain its existence. I am a fan of the law of cause and effect for a couple of reasons. One reason is it seems to me to be the most just way for the universe to function. If you sow it, you reap it. I like that. And that really puts a lot of causative power into each of our hands and minds and hearts. The other reason I like it is over the years I've been able to look back and notice where I planted a seed thought that later manifested. So to be able to do that multiple times in my life has reassured me that, this condition exists in my life on this day actually was planted way back when, on this particular day, at this particular time and place. That, again, is very reassuring. Remembering a seed thought that gave rise to a major change in life is not much different from remembering where you were for some really dramatic event. One that came up over the weekend was somebody said, do you remember where you were when President Kennedy was assassinated? Many of us that are old enough say, you bet, I definitely do remember where I was. The other day I was sitting in the Houston Hobby Airport journaling when I noticed a tall, slim man walking past. I saw him from behind, and I appreciated how fit and trim he looked, and how small his waist looked from behind. I thought, that's a healthy man right there. I then remembered standing in Central Park in Manhattan, getting ready to run in the corporate challenges races years ago. I was standing next to a vice president in my company. He was a couple of inches taller than me, and he had a reputation of being a serious runner. Bill was slim and trim, and I thought as I stood there next to him, I liked that image. Within the next year, I was slim and trim as well. That image of Bill resonated with me, and me with it. So it became a blueprint that my subconscious mind acted upon, and I became more and more serious about my diet and my running, and it showed. And now I accept that image of the man in Texas from the other day as a blueprint. It will be interesting to see how it manifests in my life, because I resonated with it and it with me. And I will bet that you could do the same thing in your own life. You could look back and identify similar experiences of images being absorbed by your consciousness and then, over time, being manifested. Abraham of Abraham Hicks refers to a similar idea. If you want some additional positives in your life, characteristics, for instance, but you personally don't have experiences or images of what you want, Abraham says, go into a public place like a shopping mall. Just sit and observe people. When you notice someone exhibiting the characteristics that you find appealing, such as the way they're walking shows real confidence, or physical health, or prosperity, or happiness, or a wonderful relationship, take those energies into your escrow account, and you can access them and make them part of your own life later on when you're ready. So, what do you want to exhibit in your life? A healthier body, weight, and size? A more attractive body, weight, and size? Greater physical mobility? Greater financial security, a more loving relationship, a more hospitable place to live, a work situation that gives you an outlet for your talents and your passions and pays you well at the same time? Are there other things? Well, then go shopping for the images and the energies that you want. Go to the shopping mall and collect images. Look at magazines and collect images. People watch on busy walking streets and collect images. Feel when an image really resonates. You'll know it. You can feel it. It'll give you a distinct physical reaction in your body and your mind. And you're like, ooh, I got it. After that, you can grow that seed image into a full-blown manifestation of the desired characteristics. And you would have changed your beliefs. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know that you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. we commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.